In the name of Jesus. Amen. Hear the word of the Lord. St. Paul writes, "And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The most common symbol in all of Christianity is the cross. Crosses adorn our churches, not just our church, but most churches have lots of crosses. There's crosses all over in our building, up front, on our hymnals, on our Bibles, crosses all over the place. Many of you probably have a cross or two on display in your home. And many people have cross jewelry, a cross necklace or a cross bracelet. Some people even get a tattoo with a cross. And we get so used to seeing crosses that we overlook how offensive and how shameful the cross originally was. To be crucified was not only a horrible, horrible way to die, it was prolonged suffering. It was also intended to humiliate. The original purpose of crucifixion was to be an instrument of death and shame for the worst of the worst of criminals. If we had, you know, if you came to church, we had like a giant replica of an electric chair hanging from the altar, or some kind of hangman's noose, it's like, oh, I'm not going to that church. That's morbid. That's dark. We would be repulsed by that, and rightly so. It'd be disturbing. And the cross isn't any different from that. The cross was an instrument of death, but what makes the cross important for Christians is what happened there. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died there for us and for the sins of the world. And not only that, but he rose from the dead. One of the reasons why the mystery of the gospel, and why it is a mystery, is that it requires the work of the Holy Spirit. Because nobody would have ever have imagined the God of this world working through an instrument of death like the cross. Nobody would have ever figured that out. Which testifies to the truth of the gospel. Because no human being would have ever come up with that. It's just too strange. The way of the world is not the way of weakness, it's the way of power. The way of the world is to run away from death and to avoid it at all costs. So it's not a matter of figuring it out, it's a matter of receiving what's been done. And that's why the cross is important for Christians. And that's why Paul says, "I would have nothing known among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." Paul admits that the Corinthian Christians themselves were neither really wise or powerful. And he even says about himself that when he came proclaiming that message, he did so in weakness and in fear and in trembling. The Apostle Paul was a man who was well educated. He would be, if he lived today, he would be like a college professor. He had the equivalent of several doctorates. And yet, he says things like, "We executed the king of the world. We took the divine being and we put him in a grave and we thought that was the right thing to do." It's just a crazy message. And then he says that divine being we put in the grave, that Jesus of Nazareth, he came out of that grave and he conquered by his death Caesar, the empire, and all the evil powers of this world. It's a crazy message. Jesus outweakens weakness by being so weak that he dies. And you can't be any weaker than being dead. And Paul might have even wondered, "I can't believe I'm teaching this." But Paul taught it, and he was compelled to teach it for three simple reasons. Number one, it's true. It's true. Paul had met Jesus, had encountered Jesus, and he knew others who had encountered the resurrected Jesus as well. Secondly, that resurrected Jesus commanded Paul to preach about this kingdom. And third, there was a demonstration of the power of God in that proclamation. Paul said it was brought about in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. What specifically Paul was referring to, he doesn't tell us. But he does tell us he didn't use any gimmicks, didn't use any clever tricks, no bait and switch. He told them about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The truth of that gospel message carries its own power. There's no need to sugarcoat it, to make it more marketable, or somehow jazz it up. And Paul kept it that way, even though it made him look like a fool. Because it doesn't make any sense that the God of this world, the God of all creation, would work through death, death on a cross. But that story holds true. And that's the mark of a follower of Jesus. The follower of Jesus says, "Amen. It is so." Doesn't have to make sense to me. God has kept His word. God has taken down the greatest power and the greatest fear of the universe, and that is death, by dying. And because He has, I can now rely upon the God of the Bible throughout my lifetime into the next, because what that God has done for me and for the whole world. I don't have to have all of my problems solved. I don't have to be healed. I can know what God has done for me in Christ. I don't have to outperform others. It is simply the truth of what God has done. That requires faith, because it doesn't make sense. And because it doesn't make sense, we need the Holy Spirit to work that faith in our hearts. We've been convinced by the world around us, and we hear this every day, that what you really need is to be the best, to be the greatest, to outperform others, to avoid death. So whatever you do, don't die, avoid it at all costs. And so the world says, go for all you can, put yourself first, and don't die. The Word of God says, Christ has the last word. And it's a word of life, even in the midst of death. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus says, no one takes my life from me. I lay it down and I have the power to take it up again. Jesus can say that because He died and rose again. And so the Christian says, I believe that. I believe that, and that faith is the work of the Holy Spirit. Because you can't figure it out on your own. Martin Luther, not Martin Luther King Jr., but Martin Luther, he wrote a catechism which was encouraged to teach people the faith. And it was intended for parents to share with their children the basics of the Christian faith. And he wrote explanations to different parts of the faith. And so he wrote explanations to the Apostles' Creed. And he wrote an explanation for that third part of the creed where we talk about, I believe in the Holy Spirit, Holy Christian Church, and so on. And in that explanation, Luther writes, I believe, says, what does this mean? He says it means, I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to Him. I believe that I cannot believe, by my own reason or strength. In other words, I can't figure it out. And so when you believe in Jesus, it's not because you figured it out, it's because the Holy Spirit has worked that in you. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to Him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel. Enlighten me with His gifts, which would be baptism and His Holy Supper. Sanctifies and keeps me in the true faith in the same way He calls, gathers, enlightens the whole Christian church on earth. Sanctifies it and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And so the Christian believes that Jesus is Lord. And that means Jesus died and rose again. And that's not like a side teaching. That's the main thing. That's the heart and center of our faith. So if the resurrection is so important, why does Paul say he would know nothing among them except Jesus Christ and Him crucified? Well, Paul doesn't say that he's never going to talk about the resurrection. He does. And in the book of, in his letter to the Corinthians, he spends a whole chapter on that, 1 Corinthians 15. What Paul is saying is that Jesus' resurrection testifies that he's the Son of God. Other people had been crucified in Paul's day. Jesus was raised from the dead by the power of God. And so death no longer has power over him. By placing proper emphasis on the crucifixion, Paul ensured that nobody could mistake that message for some kind of made-up stunt or publicity stunt to get attention. Crucifixion was so horrible and was regarded as so terrible and revolting that publicly, in Paul's day, people would refrain from talking about it. It was just too offensive. It bordered on obscene language, because when you were crucified, that meant you're the filth of the world. You were subhuman, and subhuman people should be put to death on a cross. No one would ever dream of saying, that's the way the God of the universe will work. Paul bears witness to the truth that that's how the God of the universe works. And so, God works through weakness. God works through your weakness. God works through death. And yes, that means God will work through your death. And so when we find ourselves struggling with weaknesses and troubles, we don't say, Lord, why don't you take this away? We can actually give thanks. Lord, help me to rely upon you in the face of my weaknesses, remembering that you are strong. And when that day of death comes, it's not a sign of God's lack of love, but rather it's that promise that in the midst of all of that, God walks with us through that, because Jesus died and rose again. And the cross is the picture of that. So don't polish up that cross. Don't make it too shiny. It's a picture of how God works in the midst of weakness, in the midst of death. That's how powerful your God is. So powerful that in the midst of weakness, in the midst of death, he works his life. Let the cross remind you of the power of your being saved through Jesus, his death, and his resurrection. To him be the glory. Amen and amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord comes again in glory. Amen.